Well, I ask for your prayers this morning as we look into the Scriptures for a little bit. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke about being faithful in everyday life and the little things. Last Sunday, I believe, we spoke in the morning service about the temple, and in the evening, concerning sowing to the flesh or to the spirit. And this morning, my little burden is about leaven. From time to time, Tammy will make rolls, cinnamon rolls or just dinner rolls. And I am not familiar at all with the procedure that goes into that. I just know that there is a process. And I'll see her working the dough and puts yeast into it, and it's just a little bit of dry powdered yeast that's worked into that dough, and then she'll knead that and work that and then put it into a bowl, cover it, and it's just a little wad of dough. But later on, that, if you dare to lift the cover, because I know that there is always the potential for that to be disturbed and it to fall. But if you lift the cover, pull back the little cover over that, you see that it has increased in size substantially. Something has begun to work in that dough. Something is changing a property there. It is the yeast, or the leaven, what used to be referred to as leaven. Leaven, definition, is anything which makes a general change in the mass. It generally means something which corrupts or depraves that which with which it is mixed. Jesus used a phrase, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And that's what I want to consider this morning, the passage in Matthew 16. Also, leaven has a verb definition, to excite fermentation in, to raise and make light as dough or paste. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This morning, my most biggest concern is the things that you and I allow into our lives, however we want to term it, whatever we want to call it. It has a permeating effect. And Jesus began to speak to the disciples in Matthew 16, at verse 5, and this is where we'll pick up in our reading this morning. I want us to, this morning as we read this and as we go through the things I feel the Lord has given me about it, think about what's going on around you today. Think about what's going on in our world, in our nation. Think of where the seeds have been planted. And think of what has happened now. Something has caused there to be a change in the mass. All right? Matthew chapter 16. We're going to pick up with verse 5. But just before that, Jesus had a little conversation with the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they said, "Show us a sign." And knowing that Jesus was divine and human, and knowing that He had no ill thought or intent toward any humanity, I can't help but think that the human side of Him was rankled just a little bit about this. They show us a sign. He had done all kinds of miracles already. He had just fed thousands of people with just a little bit of food. And they're saying, "Show us a sign." And He said in the closing of this little conversation in verse 4, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas." And He left them and departed. In other words, He said, "I'm not showing you any sign. I don't have to show you any sign. I don't have to prove who I am. I don't have to prove myself. And he said, a wicked and adulterous generation looks after a sign, and you're not going to get a sign. There's already been signs given to you. And he departed. He left. He left. Pick up in verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, he's saying this because we forgot to bring enough bread. I think in Mark it says they had one loaf. They had one loaf. Well, that wasn't enough for all of them. So, well, we've messed up. He's dropping this little line to us because we didn't bring enough bread. And when Jesus perceived, he said to them, oh, you have little faith. Why reason ye among yourselves because you've brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This morning, folks, my burden to you, my message to you is beware of the leaven of this world. Beware. Leaven is something that is just, I don't know, what is a teaspoon and a half, and 3 or 4 cups of flour, and knead up a dough. And it doesn't take very much of the yeast, the dry yeast, active yeast, to make it change the property. In comparison to the cups of flour and whatever else is put in that dough, and then just a little bit, in comparison, a few flakes of something causes such a drastic change in a little while to the composition of the dough. In the world in which we live today, and I'm going to tell you, when I stand here, I look out over the congregation, I look in the faces, in your faces, and I want you to know I appreciate you being here. I appreciate it very much. I see the faces of little children, and I see the faces of those who have weathered storms of life. And I know that those of you who have weathered storms of life know exactly what I'm talking about this morning, that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It doesn't take very much to make a drastic change. And you see the change that happens in our world and in our nation, in our society, in our culture. The difference of the train of thought. I don't remember the exact date. It was 1973 when the Supreme Court upheld the decision of Roe v. Wade. Was that 1972 or 1973? But since that time, since the Supreme Court allowed there to be legal abortion in the United States of America, how much have we changed? Already there was a little leaven in the lump. But look now what has changed. Look now what it has done, what that little train of thought, what that mindset has done to the mass of the people. To the point, and this is just one example, but to the point now where we have those who are willing to present bills or laws allowing us to take the life of an infant child that has been born or right up to the point of birth, and still we can have the decision to abort that child. We've gone from making it illegal to have late-term abortion to saying that now we want to make it where we can, at any point, terminate the life. That is leaven, folks. That is how leaven works in the hearts and the minds of individuals. That's how leaven works in the hearts and minds of a nation, of a society, of a culture. There are many things similar and are happening in our government that have been... little flecks of leaven been placed in here and there along the way till today we see coming to fruition things that we thought 20, 30 years ago was just foolishness. We'd never hear of it. It'll never be that way. But now we see the effects of the leaven that was put in the lump And we're seeing what has happened to our culture because of it. We are suffering. We're dealing with the effects of the leaven that has been placed in the hearts and the minds of individuals in our world. It's not adults that have made such drastic changes, folks. It's the minds and the hearts of you young men and women, young ladies, girls, boys here in this congregation. You are being taught, you are being presented with things that are foreign to the Word of God, and this world is trying desperately hard to cause you to have a little leaven placed in your life to where 20, 30 years from now, you are the ones who are making choices and decisions in our culture and our society that are contrary to the principles of God's Word because of the leaven. Because of the leaven that has been placed there. Again, definition of leaven. Anything which makes a general change in the mass. Look at the change in the mass of where we are as a society, as a nation. I'll tell you, it grieves me. I get down on my knees. I get on my knees and I say, where are we going? We're disregarding these principles that are in your Word. And what am I doing about it? What am I doing about it? Am I making myself familiar enough with the things contained in your Word so that I know the difference? So that I don't allow that leaven to be pushed into my own life. May I encourage us today, folks, do everything you can to protect your innocent children against the leaven of this world. Be careful of the things that you instill in their minds. Be careful of the things that you present to them, because as surely as you present things to them, it is as leaven that works in the lump. It's going to cause there to be a change, one way or the other. Positive, negative, good, bad. It's going to cause a change. The leaven does. To excite fermentation in, to raise, make light as dough or paste. One of the things about leaven is it acts secretly. Slowly, silently, but certainly and completely until it has pervaded the entire lump. So it is with the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaven of this world. It works secretly, slowly, silently, but constantly and completely, certainly working. Until it has permeated the soul, mind, the spirit, the entire being. Amen. We see that today. We see that in the world in which we live today. We hear the things being said. We hear people saying things. Those who are places of responsibility, those who are political leaders, those who are representatives of our nation. May I say this? They are representatives because who elects them? We do. We elect them. We hear what they have to say. We like or we don't like what they have to say. If we like what they have to say, then we as a nation make the decision that we're going to punch the button, pull the lever, whatever it is, punch the card for that individual. What we have in our society today, folks, is a cross-section of who we are. That's what we have. Who are you? What are you? Sometimes I shudder to ask questions like this, but sometimes I think I need to ask you these kinds of questions. What are you? What is your mindset? What do you think about the situation of late-term abortions? What do you think about that? Is it abhorrent to you? Is it something that you are permissive in? Is it something that you see no issue in? I'll tell you, there are those in society today who are working hard and have been working hard and have been successful in placing leaven in the hearts and minds of people to cause them to be able to feel apathetic towards it. Until today, on this one particular issue, and I'm not trying to make this a soapbox issue, but it's just an example here. Those who would stand against it are bigots. They don't love. They don't understand my plight, my situation. I say, may God help us all. Anything that you and I are going to do, if we're going to be successful in accomplishing anything for God and to help our fellow man, it's going to have to be done with a heart of love and a heart of compassion, realizing and understanding that there has been one that has come in and sown things in the hearts and minds of individuals, and that needs to be transformed. And it's not going to be transformed by trying to take a Bible and beat it out of someone. It's going to be transformed a little bit by a little bit. Just like leaven works to corrupt something, the leaven of the Word of God can also work little by little to overcome. Bad doctrines act in the soul. Bad doctrines, bad teachings act in the soul and the heart of man just as leaven does in meal. It assimilates the whole spirit to the nature of whatever you put in it. I've got two prongs here this morning. I want us to consider the things that if we put bad things into our hearts and minds, if we choose to have a little bit of the leaven of the world, the Scripture, and you've heard me recently, I've talked about it ad nauseum, I believe, but the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. As Scripture says, and let not that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded. He has some interest in the things of God, but he has interest in the things of the world. Where's the leaven coming from? I'll tell you, folks, if you have leaven of the things of this world in your heart, it's going to overtake the little bit of leaven that you have of God in your life. If you have the leaven of the world, if you open the door to the leaven of this world, it will surely permeate your soul and your mind and your thought processes. Sometimes I have shuddered to think, how is it that someone and people that you and I have known so well could have the same Word of God, could sit under the same teaching, under the same messages, under the same presentations, and make some of the decisions that they make in life? Leaven. Leaven. The leaven of the world. Jesus said, beware. Beware of it. All right? Some of the examples of this leaven. Anarchy. Don't want to have any governing force telling me how to regulate things in my life. Every man's a law to himself. Do you think that that's leaven that's been put in our world today? Absolutely it is. If you think it's not, I would say stop just a little bit. Sit back and think. Observe. Look at what's going on around you. Do you know how much more prevalent it is today for people to push back against anything that has to do with authority? You can't tell me what to do. I don't want you to tell me what to do. I don't want to be told what to do. Independence. Again, a little softer than anarchy, but I would say to you that the independence and the anarchy are kind of pretty close kin here, because independence, I want to do it my way. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want you to try to govern and control me and tell me what it is that I need to do. I want to do it this way. And I intend to do it this way. Not long ago, you may recall, we heard a story about someone who was a teacher who had a child in a class. The child failed an exam. And The parent complained because the child failed. The child admitted that they didn't study the material. The child failed the exam. The parent complained to the principal. The principal told the teacher, "You can't give that child a failing grade on that test." Why not? Well, because it's just not going to work. It's not going to fit into what we're trying to do. The child failed the exam. The parent didn't like to have the child fail the exam. The child failed the exam because the child didn't study the material that was supposed to be studied to pass the course, to pass the exam. The parent raised a ruckus because the child failed. The principal said, "Take the failing grade away." The teacher says, "That's not right." The principal says, "That's what you're going to do." Leaven. Leaven put in the heart and mind of the parent. Leaven transferred to the child now. The child says, "All I have to do is tell somebody and have somebody throw enough dust in the air and I'll get my way." Leaven. Folks, be careful. Parents, be careful what leaven you're putting in your children's minds, hearts, and lives. Be careful. As sure as you put it in there, it will grow, it will expand, it will permeate until it takes a hold of their entire being and makes them, and you'll someday maybe look back and say, "How did that happen?" Leaven. It happened because I put leaven, I put an ingredient in their mind, in their heart. They said, "You know what? The old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So if I can throw enough dust in the air and make enough noise, I can have my own way. I won't have to conform. I won't have to comply. I won't have to get a failing grade. They'll take it off. Because you see, I must be special. I must be special because if I can go talk to somebody and tell them, 'I don't like what you just did,' and they cower into a corner somewhere and take my failing grade away from me, I've just got a free course through life." Too many times, that's the mindset that folks have of just having no responsibility and not having to accept responsibility for their actions. May I say this before we change gears concerning this principle of leaven? Beware of deception. Beware of deception. The enemy of your soul is doing everything that he can do to cloud your perception of right and wrong. He wants you to be deceived. Beware of deception. Now let's turn to the book of Luke. Chapter 13. I want to spend a few minutes with the flip side of this. Luke chapter 13, verse 18. The words of the Master again. "Then said he, 'Unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and waxed a great tree. And the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." If you put the leaven of the world in your heart and mind, it's going to grow. But if you put the leaven of the Word of God in your heart, mind, and soul, if you instill in your children's minds the leaven of the Word of God and keep that carefully keep that, then that also has the potential to permeate your entire being and cause you to be a child of the King, a child of God, a child of the Most High. It will work and have its effect on you to where, when you see these things come, you will feel, oh God, have mercy on us. You'll want to go get on your knees and you'll want to pray for yourself. And you'll want to pray for your loved ones. You'll want to pray for your children, for your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, because you know that they're being presented with these contrary things in life. And you want to get down on your face before God and do everything you can to push back against that, because it's something that is inside of you that says, no, no, no. I don't want this for me. No, no, no. I don't want this for them. I may not be able to fix everything, but I'll fix what I can. I'll do what I can with me. Lord, put Your purpose in me. Put Your Spirit in me, Lord. Give me Your Holy Spirit. Put the leaven, Your leaven in my life, in my mind. Let me think the things that are right and pure and holy and true and just. Let me have judgment that is true and right. Let me not be partial. Let me not be prejudiced in my thinking. Let me, Lord, have Your mind instilled in me. Let those things be a part of my life. I want that to permeate in me. That leaven that can work for negative things can work for positive things if it's put positive things in the heart and mind, folks. It's like we talked the other evening about the law of sowing and reaping. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If I put that leaven of God in my life, if I put it in your life, if I put it in my children's lives, if I do everything that I know to do to teach them and to present those things to them, I give them the opportunity to have that leaven grow and work and change the mass. Because, folks, every one of us was born in sin. It takes a change. And you don't get salvation by osmosis. You get salvation by recognizing your need and your undone situation before God the Father, and being willing to come to Him. When you feel conviction on your soul, you come to the Lord and say, Father, forgive me, have mercy on me, and please, Lord, by the blood of Jesus, forgive me of my sins. However you word it. But you don't get it just by coming to church. You don't get it just by being in a good home. You don't get it just by being in Sunday school. You get it by making a personal decision that I want to be forgiven of my sins. I recommend to you, young men, young ladies, that when the Spirit of God deals with your heart and you feel it, and you feel your heart beating, and you know that you've been seen, you know you've been caught by God, you know that He is there, and you know that He sees your sins, and you know that you have them, and you know that you need help, may I encourage you at that moment, flee to an altar of prayer and pray and ask God to have mercy on your soul, asking to forgive you of your sins, and ask Jesus into your heart. Let the leaven of God begin its work in your life. It doesn't just come, you don't just absorb it. You have to make a conscious decision for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Folks, just as sure as a little leaven leavens the whole lump for negative purposes, you can also, if you put good things in your life, the Word of God, the principles of God, it'll leaven you that way. May I please encourage you today. May I please admonish you today. Stay away from the leaven of this world. It is poison to your soul. Do everything that you possibly can do to open your heart and your mind to the leaven of the Word of God.
and let it work in your life. Let it work its properties of increasing, ever increasing inside of you. You're not going to understand everything when you first come to an altar of the Lord and you first present yourself before God to get saved. You're not going to understand everything when the Lord knocks at your heart's door again and says, "Would you please take that next step? Would you please consecrate yourself to me and let me have you completely and wholly? Let me please be the one to guide you by my Spirit. Invite my Holy Spirit into your life." You're not going to understand everything at that point. The Lord is going to teach you and guide you, but the leaven that He has for you will work. And it will work throughout your life and cause you to be, it changes the property from the old man to a new man. It will cause there to be a renewing of the mind. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The leaven of the Word of God will do that for you. Oh, Adam Clark said it this way: "That grace which leads the soul to the fullness of glory may begin, and often does, in a single good desire, a wish to escape hell, or a desire to enjoy God in heaven." Folks, if you start out saying, I know I don't want to go to hell. Well, I'm here to tell you there's a whole lot more to getting saved than just trying to run from hell. I would encourage you to run from hell. Run from hell. No one wants to spend eternity in hell. I don't want you to spend eternity in hell. But I will assure you of this. If you run from the punishment of hell, and that's your purpose for getting saved, if you keep your heart and mind open, folks, there will come a time when the Lord will make Himself so real to you that you realize He is more than just your escape from hell. He is your friend. He's one that sticks closer than a brother. He's the one that you can lean on hard whenever you're in trouble in life. When perplexing situations present themselves to you and you don't know where to turn, no one else can help you. There is one, because you have found the leaven of God working in your life, that I can lean on Him. I can lean on Him and He will be there for me. I can trust Him. I can plead my case before Him. And I know that He will hear me, and I know that He will only do what is best for me. Folks, the leaven of God will work positive things in your life. Turn away from the leaven of this world. Don't allow it to be a part of you. Have an abhorrence for it. Have love and compassion toward those who are dealing with the things in life where they have allowed the leaven of the world to work. They're in trouble. They need God. They need a Savior. But they need it presented in the right way. They need it presented to them in a way where they can feel the love of God. They need it presented in a way that can cause there to be a transformation and a renewing of the mind. May God help us, you and me, to instill in the hearts of those around us as much as we possibly can the leaven of God. You pray for me. I want to make heaven. The same enemy that's challenging this world, folks, is challenging you and me, every one of us. Not a one of us is exempt from it. We need to pray for one another. Please pray for me. Amen.